What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Mongols River Hounds podcast. I'm Mike, with me is Kev and the Nightingale. Together, we'll break down the Hounds' loss to Rochester, we'll preview our upcoming games against Wilmington and the City Islanders, and Richard will share some news about his upcoming show. Let's go!
Can you believe that, guys?
No, I mean, that is one of the craziest sequence of events we've seen in quite a period of time.
In the top right corner, gentlemen, out to the middle, back to
So, the big news, Richard, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks very much. Thanks for the invite, as always, and pleased to be on the airwaves with you.
Yeah, absolutely. For those of you who follow Richard, you'll notice that he's been posting his thoughts after every game, and each post has sort of a new theme, which I've really enjoyed. You did one about Caesar. The most recent one involved Yoda.
Yeah. Crossing the Rubicon.
Yeah. Very nice stuff.
Yeah, we all have our personal Rubicons, as do the River Hounds, right? And then, Master and Apprentice,
The Rubicon one was really good. I read that one. Which one was the Yoda one? Was that the most recent?
It just came out this morning. Yeah.
Okay, I haven't read that yet.
Yeah, but you got to show me more respect and read my blog. otherwise, I'm not going to come on again. This is just an ego thing for me. You know, so.
Don't right. blow this, Kevin.
I haven't checked the website in the last 12 hours. I have to get on there.
All right, so before we get into all of Richard's thoughts about Rochester, just a few things to touch on. One, I wanted to point out that the Tartan Devils Soccer Club, which they're a local amateur team, their Oak Avalon team qualified for the 2017 Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. So kudos to them. They're one of only 8 teams to get a bye in the first round. So they're going to play the second round Sunday, October 16th at 3 p.m. at Highmark Stadium against Aromas Cafe FC from Virginia.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Do they have a drive-thru?
But, best of luck. Awesome news to hear that they got the bye. They're playing in the second round. You can learn more about the Tartan Devils on their Facebook page, facebook.com/TartanDevilsFC. So, again, congrats, guys. That's awesome.
That was my biggest fear when I was in Pittsburgh, that I would have drawn the Fort Pitt Regiment or the Tartan Devils in the Open Cup. Can you have imagined that?
And then losing? Is that?
I actually was so worried that I drove down to West Virginia to watch them play and scout them. Isn't that sad that I actually did that? I drove whatever it was, 7 hours to watch West Virginia Chaos play the Fort Pitt Regiment. They actually should have won that game, and that would have set up a really interesting encounter at Highmark. But thankfully, I shouldn't say this, but West Virginia got it done. So anyway,
commitment.
Yeah, that's dedication.
Sad life.
The other bit of news before we jump in is that midweek, the Hounds signed Siobhan Walsh, who was the 2016 PDL MVP and Golden Boot winner from Ocean City Nor'easters. His contract is still pending visa approval. He is a Jamaican international, but the contract is through 2018. So this past season in the PDL, he had 60 shot attempts, 2 hat tricks, and 16 goals in 18 games. So the team is hoping to have him available at the start of September. Like we said, still working out some visa issues. I don't know what we should expect from this. I mean, I don't know if you guys have any thoughts. I sort of looked for some footage and only found one shot, and it was like mid-reel of a game where he sort of ripped a shot from 20 yards out. But
I always like units. I mean, this guy looks physically athletic and what you said. I think you mentioned off air like 6'1",
192.
So if he has some pace about him, he could be a big handful. But yeah, obviously there's nothing. It doesn't seem like anything's on the YouTube about him, so it's kind of hard to know what to think, really.
Yeah,
14 goals in any leagues. 14 goals. So it's just whether you can make the transition, isn't it, to from each level. So. But it'll count for nothing, as Mr. Aguilar will tell you, if you ain't got any servers or you ain't got any players around you, right? So.
Let's jump straight into it. So the Hounds lost 3-0 in a rain-soaked game. I'm not sure what it is about these teams when they play, but it's always crappy weather. Richard, we were talking off air. For the first 5 minutes, 5-8 minutes, the Hounds looked decent. Then...
Aguilar looked decent too.
Yeah, we and then in the 8th minute, Rochester scored, and it was all downhill from there. So,
I mean, I thought they came out, you know, as they do. They were onto it, and obviously it was a great little chip from Kerr, I think, over the top to Aguilar. Keeper just got the tips of his fingers on that. That could have, you know, changed the way the rest of the 90-minute fiasco went. But I mean, then Hunt had a header, I think, that was Gomez, the keeper, saved. So yeah, it was all going the eight minutes, and then it suddenly like went off a plateau, didn't it? Or it kind of just it was a tale of, I don't know what happened, but those first 8 minutes were who knows what could have been. But yeah,
I think, yeah, I mean, Rochester being able to soak up pressure for 8 minutes and then just kind of score out of nothing, I mean, I think that shows their kind of level of professionalism and their kind of confidence of, yeah, we've been here before, we know how to act in this situation. And maybe in our case that's not the case. As soon as a goal goes in, yeah, I mean, we were a different team after that goal goes in my opinion, and things kind of really start to tail off. But yeah, I mean, as far as the Aguilar chance, I think the other thing to note is nothing really could have been different with that. I mean, I thought Kerr's chip was nice. I thought Aguilar's finish was, or attempted finish was well taken relatively, and the goalkeeper was just well positioned, came out at the right time, and just was able to grab it. But yeah, and then immediately after that was the corner kick, right, with Hunt. So it was within 2 minutes we were on top of them. And I'll just go into one of my biggest gripes about this game.
Go on.
I don't know. For me, and this kind of alludes to some of the stuff we were talking off air about kind of tactical setup and everything. I have yet to see, and this, I think this performance epitomized it. I've yet to see a Riverhounds team play with any kind of structure or shape about them. When I was watching this game, and it might have been poor camera angles and things like that, but it didn't seem like we can settle into a shape, especially defensively. It seems like we're kind of just a collection of players that, you know, maybe Brandt says, okay, I want you guys to press, and then so we're just kind of running around pressing without really any knowledge of pressing. I mean, generally, when you want to press, it's there are certain triggers, right? It's when this player on the opposition team has the ball, then we press him hard. Or maybe when this player has the ball on the other team, maybe we fall back a bit. And, you know, when it goes to this side of the field, we go. When it's not, we drop back and things like this. And so, yeah, I think, I don't know, I'm a big fan of shape and structure, and I think not having that not only hurts us defensively, but it kind of ruins any kind of build up play and attack that we might have if it is there. So, and that's not just this game. I think I've seen it in the past couple games now. And it's probably the biggest thing that I'd be calling out for.
Yeah, it was like night and day, I think, in this game, the way Rochester held their shape and were very structured. I think times Pittsburgh, it's not easy to play that 4-2-3-1. You're asking a lot of your fullbacks to get up and down the line, and the first goal was a classic instance of I think the ball was coughed up in midfield, sprayed out to the right, and then Ryan James pinged that ball far post. Mike Green was ball watching, and the lad come in and buried it, didn't he? What was his name? Turgu. Yeah. Yeah, and it's as easy as that, isn't it? And you just get exposed. And I think the commentary team were actually quite astute on the night, and they talked about that Rochester were exposing the space behind the fullbacks and clearly had a game plan, you know, watched the film and did what they had to do. But, you know, it was just, I think to what you're saying, Kev, I mean, at times Pittsburgh have just looked like, you know, wandering nomads and you know aborigines on a walkabout kind of thing, haven't they? And it's and once you start to lose that shape and you start to chase the game, I mean, the one thing we do very well is knock the ball sideways, don't we, you know, across the field. I mean, we're very good at that. If it was a training exercise, we'd get an A+.
Well, I think with the lack of shape too, I mean, just every once in a while, that kind of chaotic movement will eventually click. And I think those are the goals that we see that kind of come out of nothing and are really, really well-taken goals. But 9 times out of 10, you're not going to get anything resembling a well-played kind of build-up play.
Well, I mean, the biggest probably fault all year has been the lack of penetration. I mean, you saw it, you know, Rochester just sat in there. I mean, you know, two banks of four. And when the ball did get through the first bank of four, whether it was Aguilar, mind you, he was only on for 58 minutes. So. But when he did get it, or it was Herzog, neither of them turned. Did you notice? It was almost like they were looking over their shoulder, waiting to get clattered into. And so they knocked it back out again. And so you'd given up all that good work that you'd done. I think I'd like to see a few players maybe turn, and then you go at players, and then everybody's out of shape, and then it's a whole new guessing game for the defense. So, but Rochester, I mean, 15 goals last year. They're nowhere near the team they were last year. I thought they were a very mediocre team Saturday night, but some good players there, and we were fortunate that he actually bought off Dos Santos on the 75th minute, and Forbes, you know, I thought were very good players. Garzy, obviously getting injured, helped us a little bit as well, but it's just a lack of creativity and penetration. There's no penetration at all.
Yeah, I, you know, as I was watching this game, I was thinking to myself, this was pretty much the team that we put out that put four goals in on Wilmington. So what was so different from this team, or what should have been different with this set of players to try to make the same sort of plays, make the same sort of attacking presence that we had in Wilmington? And Richard, you already touched on one of it. The first thing, it seemed like, you know, Rochester definitely watched the game tape. Our MO seems to be play the ball to the forward that's highest up. And this is what Nick Thompson is for. They keep their back to goal, and they feed a little 1-2 touch to whoever it is that played it to them into space. And what was happening was our forwards aren't turning with the ball. They're just getting the ball, expecting to play it into space, and Rochester was ready to pounce on it the second that the ball left their foot. So they were clearly watching tape and ready for that. And then the other thing that I thought that they clearly watched tape on was what we talked about earlier as well, was just getting behind the fullbacks. I thought that Mike Green, both goals were Mike, the first two goals were Mike Green's fault, where, you know, he was ball watching the first one. The second one, Campbell was sliding over to try to cover for him, and he was just left hung out to dry. I thought that once Russell was brought in, there was a bit more of a spark, but I think at that point it was already 3-0 Rochester, and I don't think they were really trying to attack too much.
I thought Russell, when he came on, he pinged in a great ball, didn't he, from the right, which was somebody could have just got a toe on it.
Yeah.
Might have been too much too late. But I've never been a big fan of Mike Green, but I think he's done well this season. But on Saturday night, he was caught ball watching on the first two goals. And I mean, when you saw him come off, you know, he had that body language going on again, didn't he? I mean, which I always used to call him out on, you know. So, but I don't think he's had a bad season right back. We've asked, you know.
I think on his day, yeah, I think Mike Green's great. When he puts in a good performance, and it is really weird. It seems like he either has a 9 out of 10 or a 4 out of 10, and there's not much in between Mike Green. And I think the weird thing is he can have two bad games in a row and then just decide to come out and play with confidence and look like one of the best players on the pitch. But yeah, I mean, for the first goal, I'm a little more. I don't know. I would have to watch it back again, but I mean, Hollingsworth was really caught up high up the field, yeah. And yeah. So I don't know if I want to blame him for that, because I think I'm sure
he was soul kept. The ball was given away in midfield. He was doing his job. I mean, he was getting support to support, had numbers on the overlap, and we lost the ball in the midfield, and then he was done. I mean, you know, Usain Bolt couldn't have got back to cover that.
So who? Well, I would have to look back. Who in the middle of the pitch was it? I don't know. I was do you know who nicked the ball back from Rochester? You mentioned him already. Dos Santos, I thought, had a brilliant game. I mean, he looks like a titan in the middle of the pack. I mean, the fact that he's that big and still has that much about him going forward is just incredible. I thought, Dos Santos, he's been one of the few players, I think, across the entire USL where when I watch us play another team, Dos Santos has stuck out head and shoulders above a lot of other players that I've watched this season. He looks a really good player.
It's just a great outlet, and he has the ability to hold the ball up, right? And he takes the pressure off you, and then you can, you know, when you can hold it like that, you can get numbers, and you know, you can reduce the, you know, the space, and you can get numbers, and then you're dangerous. But too many, you know, our forwards are just put, you know, it's Robinson Crusoe, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it felt very much like, I don't want to say the defense was just hung out to dry at times, but this game very easily could have been 5-6-0. There were a few crosses that were coming into Valesky that Hunt was sort of making last inch slides to get over for, and it just
yeah.
You know, and the funny thing is, I mean, Stefan looks like a proper keeper. I don't know. Like he's so the third goal, obviously he makes a little bit of a mistake, and to be fair, it was a really nice finish by Rochester actually, but he just looked really composed on the ball. He looks like he knows what he's doing. He's there and he's comfortable in his role. I forget when it was, but I remember there was a point where Rochester, someone took a brilliant shot from like 22, 25 yards out, and he makes a great diving save. And he looks like a very composed goalkeeper. He's probably one of the only players from Columbus that I'm going to be really sad to go. Hollingsworth has put in a pretty good season so far too, but Stefan looks like he looks, you know, I think a lot of us were kind of clearly favoring Vargas over Gilstrap, and we're pretty happy with Vargas, and we're looking for to kind of plug holes and other parts of the team. And Stefan comes in and just makes us remember what real quality looks like. I feel like, and yeah, he looks a real keeper.
Well, he's a professional soccer player, and he looks the part. You can see him talking to the back four, trying to set them, organize them. I mean, sure, unfortunate. I mean, it was a gift in that the lad Riley didn't have to move, basically. But I'd defy anybody, you know, 8 times out of 10 to put that ball away. That wasn't as easy as everybody laid out, because he curled that, I think it was his left foot. I mean, it was a good finish.
And even the intention, though, I can't fault the intention of Stefan either. I mean, you're down 2-0. You get the ball, and your immediate reaction is, let's release it quick and get up the pitch quick and counter. And I mean, that's what you want to see your goalkeeper do. You don't want to sit back and lazily let Rochester kind of drop back into their formation. I mean, I like the idea from it. Yeah, it was just unfortunate how it kind of ended up.
I think he's played very well in the games he's been in, and it's a good addition.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I guess, Richard, do you have any thoughts on it? We talked a little bit in the past few weeks about sort of this mass addition of Columbus players. Were there any of the other players that sort of stood out to you, or how do you feel about at this point in the game, considering where the Hounds are at and what we're looking at for the rest of the season? What are your thoughts on bringing in more Columbus players to give them time?
I thought Martinez, I thought he played well at Montreal. Stefan, clearly a good quality keeper. I don't see it. I think that you've got a squad. I mean, you've got a midfield that I think you've got to go with. They just got to learn how to find some creativity. The problem is, you know, Danny Earls. I mean, I said in my piece, his commitment, his work ethic is second to none. I mean, I get worn out watching, you know, Danny working. But Danny gives you nothing going forward. He can't lay balls forward, open up a defense. He can clip a ball, you know, a diagonal into space. But he's not got that creativity. You know, we've got to see more out of Maloto. Was like a broken ice machine. I mean, he showed how frail he is. And, you know, he got bumped off the ball. He was indecisive. And that's a little bit of a knock on Lebo. I think he's got great talent, but not consistent and to make the step up to be in the top 20% of players in the USL. You know, Kevin Kerr, you know, had a decent game, nothing special. But, the guy that really, really got a number done on him was Herzog. Didn't have a sniff. And they just had a plan and neutralized him.
Which is weird because, it's 5 goals in the last 5 games, right? I mean, so it's not like he's been in a rut, and they kind of he just kind of has an off game. Yeah, no, it was.
I mean, there were times he was back at our 18 to pick up the ball. Like
that summed up the game, Mike.
Yeah,
no penetration. I mean, you get frustrated as a forward, and you just drop. I mean, he could have gone and shook hands with Stefan, couldn't he? At times, I mean, he was. Yeah. You know, whenever you get a player of Herzog's caliber, you know, playing in our half more than he is in the last third, it's ominous.
Well, let me ask you this. So we've talked a lot about game planning and preparing for the team that you're playing. We've talked about historically about Rochester and the way that you sort of break them down. They're very structured. They hold their shape really well. And one of the ways that you can exploit that is by dribbling at them with pace to draw the players out of position to create more space on the field. Do you guys think that with the team that we have, we could have game planned a way to go in and man for man beaten this Rochester team?
I don't know. I mean, do we have the quality to do that?
That's my question.
I don't know if we have the individual quality where we can break this down into 11 individual one-on-one battles. I think we would have to kind of take them over tactically. And I don't know. I think the other thing is, especially being away from home, I mean, it was always going to be it's always tough to break down Rochester to begin with, and then add in the fact that you're away, add in the fact that it's raining. I don't know. That's one thing that's actually been playing on my mind more and more recently, is like kind of the unspoken match report bits about games. Like when it's pouring down rain, like as a player, that changes how you play, like it or not. And so I don't know. It was always going to be tough. So, I mean, I don't think you can set up with confidence thinking that, you know, we can 6 out of the 5 battles we can take. And so in that sense, I don't know what you do to set up tactically. I mean, Richard, you were talking a bit about how Earls doesn't really give you much going forward. He's more defensively, vice versa. Maloto gives you maybe a bit creatively, that's not a word, but I'm going to use it, going forward, but not much in defense. I don't know. And as a little sidetrack, I think that more kind of highlights this whole team of individual specialists rather than 11 players that can do a job as a unit. And it's something that kind of has worried me over this entire season, but kind of went off on a tangent there, Mike. I don't know if I answered your question, but I
think Rochester was a better squad. They were tactically better, technically better. When you play teams like Rochester, you've just got to take advantage of any set piece that you have, whether it's a corner. I thought we put in some good free kicks. It's just get on the end of them, isn't it? I mean, and yeah. It's you know what, the guy you're relying on tends to be Willie Hunt to win that header, and I think Aguilar's won a couple, but he's not really imposing in there, is he? I'm still a bit perplexed why. I don't know what Zach Boggs has done. I don't know. Did he steal the coach's car or something? Because
I mean, hasn't he?
Because he's unfavored nation status right now. I mean,
I was starting to think the same thing about Drew Russell, because when the season started, he was one of my team MVPs, and then we just hadn't seen him for a while, and there were rumors that he had picked up a knock, but nothing ever officially reported, so I was happy to see him back. But I don't know.
I always like Zach Boggs, too. He always puts in a shift. I don't know. I kind of like the fact that, wasn't he like a doctor at some point? I kind of like that about him, that he's like has this, like put him next to Danny Earls and they make this perfect little like yin yang.
We kind need of like a sitcom that's like Zach Boggs MD, where like by day he's a doctor, by night he's on the field with his lab coat. And
you see, all the creativity went into Danny's, drawing and art.
Yes.
But it was always going to be extremely difficult to break down Rochester. They were never going to give you the game. You were going to have to earn it, and they were going to make you pay for it. And when they went forward, they were going to go forward, and they were going to penetrate. You know, they didn't knock the ball sideways back, so everybody has to have a touch to count in the goal, right? It was like when they went forward with purpose and direction. Now, it didn't work every time. They overhit some balls, but they certainly, when they did counter, they went with purpose and aggression.
Yeah, I agree. I guess anything else you guys want to talk about as it relates to this game? Or have we sort of beaten things into the ground enough?
Well, I'm just perplexed by Aguilar. Costa Rican international substituted by an ex-golf coach on the 58th minute. I wonder what he said to his agent after the game. I wouldn't have gone back to the bench. I'd have gone straight to the locker room. To me, it's perplexing. We bring this player up, right? And we say, go on, play up top. Every game, there'll be 2 6-foot, 4-inch,
Grocks.
Yeah. Trees, right? Who would just drop the ball up to you and good luck to you. Yeah. Do show us what you can do.
Make us look good. Yeah.
You must think that it's like, you know, they're just trying to make me look bad, aren't they? Ruin my career. I mean,
I'm quite good at that.
He's on the phone talking to the relatives and his agents. He must be like, how many more? How many more?
Please send me home.
58 minutes he was bored of. And let alone, listen, Nick Thompson, I'm sure, is a fantastic guy. His brother, and I hate to always come across as I'm picking on people, because I certainly don't. But you choose to make your living and take money in the game, then you open yourself up, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Whether I'm talking about the coach or the player, that was our first tactical endeavor to win the game at 58 minutes, was to bring a guy who's played 7 years professionally in Costa Rica and put Nick Thompson on up front and not even change the system.
Yeah,
that was our answer to Rochester.
Yeah.
Well, and so let me quickly ask you this. You're right. I mean, how we played and how we set up obviously doesn't feed into Aguilar's strengths. So would you say he's good enough where we can actually build a game plan around him and commit enough players elsewhere on the pitch to give him the support he actually needs to play his game and B, I don't know what would be. I mean, well, surely on 58 minutes, it's not like he's not fit enough to play. He looks a fit player. It's not like he's being pulled off.
Doing it on the pierogies, I don't know.
But back to my original question.
Yeah. See film of practice, so I can't tell you whether he's good enough because he doesn't touch the ball enough in the games.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he can run around. He's got the build. I mean, he must have done something.
Yeah.
You know,
for me, he showed enough flashes of brilliance brilliance is a strong word, but he showed enough flashes of, okay, yeah, there's something about him. He has a couple nice touches, his movement's there. I think his aggression's there, his determination's there. But yeah, I don't know. I think Herzog in the past five games has kind of flourished underneath him. But how we actually work him into the game a bit more and it's not even like we're being tight at the back either. So it's not
maybe
like
he's asking for the ball in Spanish and nobody understands.
Right.
Well, I mean, I guess what I'm intrigued to see is we're bringing in Walsh, who, you know, is supposed to start at the beginning of September for us. Is he a replacement for Aguilar? Is he a replacement for Nick Thompson?
Like, well, let me put it this way. I mean, I wouldn't be exercising an option on Aguilar.
Yeah.
From what we've seen.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think I think somehow we have to find some creative players who can open up defenses. Forwards, what do forwards do? You know, they make those little 10-yard runs behind on people's shoulders and, you know, get their toe in the box. You've got to have people who can open up the back four, and that's what's not there. Now, maybe, you know, as Danny Earle's got another year, possibly, you know, but we've got to find somebody who's got some creativity who can do the unexpected.
And do you think that's something maybe where it's just like Kerr being played out of position? Or
no, I don't think it's Kevin. I think it's additional players, 2-3 players. You know, you look at Forbes. Thought he was very good. That's the type of player that we need. And, you know, the perennial superstar that they have, Ghazi.
Yeah.
You know, that's the type of player that we've got. We can't, and I said this in the piece, and I hate saying these things. I really do. I cringe even as I say it now. We look like a developmental academy rather than a professional team out there to win every game, to win a title.
Mm-hmm.
This is not developmental soccer. Every year is the last season.
Yeah.
Players change so much in this league. Now, maybe that's not the case with Pittsburgh, and it is building. But these players, you could bring these players on exponentially. They're not good enough as a squad.
Yeah. I emailed you, Richard, after I got the piece and when I was ready to post it, and I said you could tell I know just from, you know, you having done this after however many games that it can't be enjoyable to write them. Like, there's a lot of pain that goes into the words that are put on the page, and that it's difficult. So hopefully we'll see some sort of turnaround at some point here. And we've got two games coming up, both Wilmington and the City Islanders coming up this week, which we're going to preview here in a second. So let's just take a quick break, and then we'll jump into that and get some thoughts.
We'd love to hear from you. Find us on Twitter at Mongols, on Facebook at Mongols, and email us at howl@mongols.com. Any questions, comments, or reactions read on air could win you your own Riverhounds jersey. Thanks!
And we're back. So as we mentioned, two games coming up this week for the Hounds. We have Wilmington on Wednesday at Highmark Stadium, and we have the City Islanders Saturday in Harrisburg. So let's just start with Wilmington. The last time we played Wilmington, we beat them 4-1. That was sort of the blowout game that nobody really expected. And since then, Wilmington has lost 2-0 to Rochester. They lost 1-0 to Charlotte Independence, and they drew 1-1 with the Charleston Battery. Now, some sobering news. At the USL midseason meeting, Wilmington indicated that it plans to not compete in the 2017 season, with some sources indicating they could be primed for a move to Baltimore, which... Yep. You hate to see, because in all reality, this may be a situation that we could be looking at some point in the future if things sort of continue down the road they're on. So, yeah.
Man, this is a depressing show. We need we need something to cheer us up at this point.
Well, look, so I was going to try to, you know, add some
It's
more.
Not unwarranted either. I mean, yeah. This is all valid stuff. Like, this is, it's just...
Yeah, so the Wilmington, they like to score off of set pieces. We talked about this the last time we previewed them. Their two top scorers are Bruno Perrone, who has 5 goals for them, and Ashani Fairclough, who has 4 for them. They're their starting center backs. So that gives you an idea. Their top scorers are their starting center backs. Both of them missed the game last time we played due to card accumulation. So I guess my question for you guys is this. Considering how we just played against Rochester, and considering on the opposite side of this game is the Keystone Derby, how do we approach this game? Do we go out trying to get the win and play all of our starters?
How many games are in between Wilmington and the Derby?
How many games or how many days? So we play Wilmington on Wednesday, the Derby Saturday.
Mm.
And we've got to travel to Harrisburg in between the two.
Okay, that might have some effect. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, like, look, I don't even want to play this game. I just want to have the memory of a 4-1 win over Wilmington in the back of my mind for the rest of the season. Yeah, I mean, I really don't know what to expect from this one. As a player, you wonder how much confidence you're actually bringing into this game, because having their two starting center backs back in the lineup, presumably, you have to be thinking, this isn't the same Wilmington team that we played last time. And so how much of a mental edge you have over Wilmington going into this game, I don't know. Who knows if the players actually have one eye on the Derby in the next game. But we'll see.
Yeah, I think that the Wilmington players are basically looking to earn contracts for next year, wherever they go and play the last 7-8 games. So it's unfortunate because one of the founding members of the USL 20-odd years in actually won the title once. So, I can understand, you know, moving to a bigger market. I believe they're owned by an ownership group out in New York City. So, the two lads will be back. They're influential, you know. So, you know, like you said, Mike, I mean, set pieces, corners, all that, but I would fully expect Pittsburgh to win this game. I don't think Wilmington will travel very well, and I think this will be an easy 2-0 win. So I don't think this, and then I think Harrisburg's just that's going to be blood and guts. I mean, that's going to be trenches type stuff. I mean, elbows in the kidneys and. I just, you know, coming out of Wilmington, you know, hopefully people, you know, get a little bit of sense of confidence, a couple of people maybe score, you know, and we go up there and give it a real go and, you know, no regrets, leave nothing in the locker room and should be a cracker jack of a game, I hope.
Some optimism. Nice. I like it.
So, I mean, I don't think there's much else to really say about the Wilmington game. I think hopefully the players aren't looking past it, but understandably so. If there's one thing left to play for this season, it's the Keystone Derby, and we have a shot at that.
Let's be sure. Nobody wants to finish in the basement, do they?
This is very true.
I mean, after Montreal, got that result today, 3-2 over Bethlehem. So got one game, but worst goal differential. But there's no.
Montreal's a proper development team. We may look like a development team, but Montreal's actually a development team if you look at how
playing,
they play.
Playing on Wednesdays at noon against TFC2. Yeah.
During their lunch hour.
You don't want to finish below a team that's going to cease operation next year either.
Yeah.
That's very true.
We go from Wilmington on Wednesday at 7 p.m. at Highmark Stadium. So if you're around and looking for something to do on a Wednesday night, head down and cheer the guys on, to the City Islanders on Saturday. And so, like we mentioned, we're going to hit the road in Harrisburg.
There's a Steel Army bus.
Steel Army bus that's heading out there. I know Josh is going to be on it. Josh was supposed to join us this evening, but then had some scheduling conflicts, so we'll get him back on the next one. If you're interested in getting on the bus, I don't know if they're still taking spots or not, but head over to steelarmy.com. I want to say it was something like $35 to get a ticket on the bus to get out to the game, which is like nothing. And, Richard, you did that last year.
Yeah,
so it's a good time.
Spilled a few beers, sang a few songs. It's very enjoyable, especially when you win.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the scenarios here. So, in terms of the Keystone Derby, we were playing Harrisburg three times this season. The first game we drew 0-0 on July 4th at Highmark Stadium. The second game we lost 2-1 on July 17th. So going into this game, we need to essentially win by at least one goal to tie up the series, 2+ goals to win the cup.
Okay.
Do we get it done? That's the big question.
Yes, because I can't stand the thought of anything else. I don't know. I think a lot maybe hinges on the Wilmington game. If we go out and get walloped by Wilmington, but I don't know. Then again, we haven't really seen a Riverhounds team build off of positive performances, right? we get a 4-1 win over Wilmington, and I'm pretty sure the next game we went out and lost. I forget what it was.
It was a close one. Louisville, wasn't it?
Yeah.
2-1.
Okay, well, maybe. Okay, so maybe everything I just said was incorrect. But no, I think with the Wilmington game midweek, I think a lot will tell about that. If we at least maybe put in a good performance, I think things look good for the Derby. But if we go to Wilmington and kind of, play poorly and lose, then I don't know.
Oh, I think Pittsburgh will take care of Wilmington Wednesday night. I think it'll be 2-2, maybe even 3. And then I think Harrisburg is... just got to have a game plan. I hope Dave Brandt does. I hope he gives them the respect they deserve. They're always hard at home. I know they've had a tough season, but it for them as well, this is it, isn't it? I mean, this is their their only claim to glory this year, as it were. I mean, the pitch will be the surface will be a lot better. So, but they're a marginal team. It's just going to come down to individuals and. They want to shine on the day, and the people that have the good games that want the ball at their feet, they want to take people on, they want to be proactive, and they want to make the difference. If you want to hide in the shadows, it's going to be a long night, and that's why I hope that I know we'll get good games from Earls, the Kerr, Herzog, I believe. Hopefully we got Stefan in goal, and Willie Hunt will give us a good game at the back. Campbell will be steady. It's that periphery of players around the nucleus and the spine of the team. They have to step up and have the games of the season, So, but it can be done. It's I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a cracker. I'm just loving it that I'm not really that vested as I was last year. I'm more concerned right now. Where's the pre-game drinking going to be done? The bar being identified in Harrisburg.
Yeah, we'll have to. The Steel Army mentioned in sort of the write-up on their site that if you're under 21, you may have to find somewhere else to hang out, waiting for the bus to pick you up afterwards, because there's a local bar they're going to be heading to either celebrate or drink it all away.
We should get Josh. We should deputize Josh to maybe get some. Like live commentary, or not during the game, but maybe like pre and post match kind of thoughts.
As long as it's kept clean, yeah, absolutely.
there's nothing better than when you win a trophy and a cup, and you drink out of the cup. That epitomizes everything that is great in soccer.
Yeah.
Hear that, River Hounds players?
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's really anything else to say. We've talked about this team a ton. We know who their top players are. They have Jose Barril. They got Barbie Warshaw. They got Aaron Wheeler, the guy that looks like Thor up at forward. So, Hounds, you know what to expect. We've seen them enough. You guys just have to go out and take care of business. So,
Mike, do you think we take care of business? Richard has mentioned that.
Oh,
you know,
man. Do I think we take care of business? See, here's my thing. Every podcast we've done this season, I've sat here in this chair, in this very chair, and have said, player for player, you look at every team in the USL, and there is no team that if we're playing our game, I don't think we can't beat. And I've only been right 3 times so far this season.
So even a squirrel, you should be finds a walnut. So this is it. Yeah. Everybody, this is it. Put your money on this. The next few words at Ladbrokes, this is it. Or get to your local bookie.
I think that the Hounds have. I think that they've seen enough heartbreak this season. I think there were definitely times in this most recent game where you could read on their faces that they're just fed up with things. And I think if there was ever a rallying point for the crew where it's, if we can't get up for anything, we're going to get up for this, it's this game. And so I think with that in mind, playing the whole, you know, the odds are against us, we're not at home, and we've got to go up by 2 goals to win this, I think they do it. I think they pull it off, and I
like how this is all wrapping up very optimistic.
Well, the thing that, not to go on like a broken record, but Pittsburgh have got to play very physical.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't joking. You know, get the elbows in the kidneys, kick them up in the air, let them know they're there. You know, no, I'm not encouraging Danny Earls to do his stuff or the stud
stuff. A team full of Earls is what we are dreaming of.
Technique. But then the only other thing I'd say, I'd leave it at this, play Stephen Okai, David Brandt, and then play a 4-4-2. None of this 4-2-3-1. That's not going to be a night for that 4-2.
I completely agree. And what, I'm guessing Earls and Akai in the middle, maybe Kerr off the left, Maloto off the right.
Yeah, I think it picks itself, the team.
Yeah.
Okay. Herzog and Aguilar.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I agree too. I guess my only last question is who do you think gets to start right back? Do you think Green stays in there? Was Russell good enough in his little cameo? Or
I think it'll be Green, Hollingsworth, and Campbell and Hunt. And get your rosary out. Go light a candle, hopefully.
I'll be doing that.
And
yeah, absolutely. All right, so yeah, if you want to go out, like we said, go check out the Steel Army site. They're lining up the bus. Get on the bus, steelarmy.com. You could be there in person to write it down, watch the Hounds win the Keystone Derby Cup. Last time it's going to be, well, I shouldn't say that for sure. Last time it could be with only 2 teams, because as we mentioned, Bethlehem was sort of itching to get in on the action this season. For whatever reason, it didn't happen. So I'd be surprised if it didn't happen next season. And that could end up making it all the much more interesting, having 3 teams competing for it. So the game will be Saturday, 7 p.m. at FNB Field in Harrisburg. So one of the other things that we wanted to talk about here, Richard, you were sort of teasing it on Twitter a little bit, is we're working on your own show. You're such a hit. You are a superstar to the Pittsburgh market.
You are my agent. Thank you.
So tell the people what you'd like to do here. How do you see this playing out?
Well, I'm open to ideas. I'd like people to actually send in topics which they'd like to discuss, and we'll get appropriate guests to come on, or things like the role of agents. What does it take to be, let's say, a general manager of a professional soccer team? Things like that. I mean, how do you recruit players? I'm open to anything. Talk about the EPL or talk about the USL versus the NASL. give you my opinion on players, you know, pro players, this and that. I'm really looking for the audience. What do you really want to hear discussed? I'd love to have some people come on, questions, and see if we can figure out how the format can be done. But just have a good old conversation. It's almost like if you listen to the BBC, they have a show called Hard Talk. You know, so let's get down to it. Let's cut away the chaff and be honest and brutal and give credit where it's due. But I'm open. I mean, I would watch what's the topics of the day that we should be discussing relevant to Pittsburgh soccer, to soccer in the US, even around the world. But there's a lot of commonalities, and I want to talk about how Orlando City got from Austin to Orlando. I mean, I have intimate, you know, work with Phil Rollins there, and what it takes to make that move or make that leap. So there's so much, but over the next few weeks, it'd be great if people sent in emails, tweets about maybe what they'd like to see on the shows, and then we'll develop it from there.
Yeah, absolutely. We will. We're gonna work with people and get this set up. The goal is to have the first show after Labor Day. And we've talked about on previous shows how we're sort of expanding the discussion all over, you know, what's going on in Pittsburgh soccer. We have the Hound Show, which this has been exclusively about Hounds. Tomorrow we're going to release our Premier League show, where we talk about the three big games from this weekend. We've got a lot of different comments from fans on Twitter about how they thought their team did. Josh did a recording live from the Everton game. He wasn't at the Everton game, but where the Everton fans were meeting to get their feedback. We'll play that on air. So we're going to cover Hounds, EPL. I'm working on another show, which we're hoping to release this week with John Krasinski, about the college teams. We may dive into some high school stuff. Richard, your show is going to sort of be like the catch-all. Like, let's just talk about anything and everything. So I think that there's going to be something for everybody as this all shakes out, which is just, it's awesome.
Just as the Hounds are winding down, we're kicking up with a bunch of new shows. Yeah, I'm so excited about it. It's gonna be great.
You know, it'll evolve, and lessons learned along the way, right? I guess that's where we run in parallel with the River Hounds.
Yep. And we've always said, you know, when we approach these shows, we have an idea of how we think they should play out and how we'd like for them to play out, and then you get into them and sometimes you have to call an audible and you change things mid-season. And we did that with the Hounds. After Josh came in, we said, well, let's stop talking about specific points and just make it takeaways. So, you know, feedback is welcome as we go through this, and if you have things that you want to hear Richard talk about, send them to us. We'll be soliciting stuff on Twitter and Facebook, and you can email us at howl@mongols.com. And we're going to put this together, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Definitely looking forward to it.
Well, I look forward to writing a very positive blog after Wednesday's game. 2-0, and then going on to Harrisburg, just eulogizing the team after that in my blog after the game. So got really good feelings about the next week. So just nice. Be prepared. They just need to be prepared. Like the Boy Scouts.
That's all I'm going to think about now as they're going out for the national anthem, is all of them in their Boy Scout uniforms. All right. Well, I think that's it for this show. We covered a lot of stuff as it relates to the Hounds. We talked about three games, essentially. Talked about Richard's new show. Anything else from you guys at this point?
I'm not looking forward to the Premier League show, talking with Josh with Everton and Liverpool, how those results went this week. It's not going to be great, but
I'm enjoying that as well. I do listen to that, so that's
you can skip it this week. Don't listen this week.
Having low fun and everybody like that. Yeah, been good.
Yeah, it's been. I don't want to say it's been surprising, but there's a lot of little corners of soccer in Pittsburgh that I didn't even know existed that are starting to show themselves, and it's awesome. It's great.
Sounds as though the industry need to turn down the disco music, though, during the game. And I have been there for dinner. I have. I was there with Mark Steffens.
All right. I guess that'll do for this episode. For Kev and Richard, thank you guys, as always, for joining me. I am Mike. Stay tuned, everybody, because as we mentioned, we're going to talk to you very, very soon.